morning. Welcome to our service. We begin with a prayer to our Lord to bless our worship today. O Lord, you are the God of mercy and great blessing. In your love, you have redeemed our souls and have given us the gift of eternal life. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and sufferings of this life. Comfort us with your promises, guide us by your word this morning, and bless us with the certainty of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn 902, Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Please stand. We follow the order of service that begins on the middle of page 2. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us. And for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, Let us praise the Lord. Pray. Almighty God, you gave your one and only Son to be the light of the world. Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and believed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 to 5. And the prophet speaks of the special relationship that we have because Jesus came into the world as our Savior, and that God gives us a new name. Now, these new names may sound kind of unusual, Hephzibah and Beulah. And it's a good thing to remember that in Hebrew, the first phrase is a repeat in the second phrase, kind of explaining the first phrase. So Hephzibah means the Lord delights in you. And the next one, Beulah, that we are his bride. Bride of Christ. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the name of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man married a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoice over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Paul reminds us in this section of Corinthians that we each are blessed with different gifts, and that God wants us to use those gifts for the good of his church and kingdom. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of 408, Come Join in Cana's Feast. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our best and kindest friend, dear fellow redeemed. In 1865, an Irishman by the name of Joseph Scriven wrote a hymn for his mother to comfort her in times of sorrow. In that hymn, Joseph reminded his mother that the best friend of believers is Jesus. And he's there. You always can rely upon him. He'll help you in every kind of need that you have. With these words, then, he wrote of Jesus being our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We shall never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. In the past, this hymn was criticized as too much on the order of sentimental gospel type. Oh, there's no question that this hymn involves emotions, but it's not shallow, superficial, or groundless. It stirs us, our hearts up. This hymn, quite fittingly, arouses a good and beneficial feeling of comfort, peace, hope, and joy. Because it tells us how Jesus is always there with us as our friend. And he is there to share our life's sorrows as well as our life's joys. And he's always there to help us in any need. That Jesus is such a true and most helpful friend is revealed in John's account of the wedding of Cana. In our childhood years of going to Sunday school, we learned this lesson of Jesus and his disciples being invited to a Jewish wedding as guests. What stands out about this joyous event is Jesus' miraculous turning water into wine so that they would have an adequate supply for the week-long celebration. At the conclusion of this account, John points out that this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry and revealing his glory as the promised Christ and Lord, manifesting it. The glory of Jesus, which shows forth in this event, shines a light on a number of important truths concerning him, as him being our best friend. It shows Jesus' willingness to join us in life's experiences, sharing with us our joys as well as our sorrows. It reveals his love and his compassion toward us in our earthly needs. It gives evidence of his great wisdom to know what and when to help us with and supply us with our needs. And it finally demonstrates his great power to help us in any and every need. When Jesus accepted the invitation to attend the wedding service and the wedding banquet that followed, his presence tells us he took a personal, individual interest in this wedding couple. This was a special occasion of God uniting a man and a woman in the holy estate of matrimony. And Jesus joined in rejoicing that in this wonderful sacred union, God would be blessing husband and wife in the days and years to come. This is just one of countless occasions Jesus has been present to share with us and our brothers and sisters in the Lord our joys, joining us in rejoicing over the good times, the blessings, and the triumphs in life. Whatever the event or occasion or experience of life, Jesus is right there, taking a personal and active interest in us and in our lives. Besides the joyous events, Jesus is also acquainted with our sorrows. One example of this is that of what happened to Lazarus, Jesus' dear friend. He was very sick, a sickness that led to death. And so when Jesus got to Bethany, he saw Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, weeping and others mourning. Jesus wept. Now, Jesus knew that just in a short time he was going to raise Lazarus back to life from the dead, but he felt what they were feeling. Sorrow when you are physically separated from a loved one through death. Jesus is fully acquainted with all the various adverse feelings we experience in this sin-cursed world. He knows exactly the feelings and what they're like because he personally experienced them, all of them. Now, how can we make that claim? In the book of Isaiah, where it speaks of Jesus' substitutionary work as our Savior, the prophet reveals that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, human griefs. When God the Father laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all, Jesus experienced all the feelings that we have in this life because of sin that's in this world and it's in our hearts and lives. He experienced it all because God laid it on him. He experienced all our griefs, all our sorrows, our fears, our guilt, our shame, all that which comes as a consequence of sin in this world. He felt it all. So he knows personally what you are going through, what you're feeling, because he felt it as well. During those times of life that bring either joy or sadness, would that we would always remember that Jesus is there as our friend. Would that we would always be moved to cast all our cares and all our burdens upon him through prayer and be ready to listen to him, listen to his word of counsel, and follow them. He shares in our joys, and he shares in our sorrows. We have oftentimes needlessly missed out on experiencing a blessed life of communion with Jesus because we didn't always realize his presence or look to him as our best and kindest friend and bring our problems to him and trust in him as our best and kindest friends. As Christians who have come to know Jesus as our greatest friend, we want to invite him into our lives and into our homes, whether we are at home, at work, or at play. We want Jesus' presence in our lives. This very special guest at the wedding in Cana was not an unfeeling, idle bystander who had no concern about the special needs of the people, the couple, the wedding couple, the needs that arose. As a true friend of the married couple, when the wedding banquet ran out of wine, Jesus was sympathetic, and he took a personal interest in the predicament. Judging by the circumstances recorded in John's Gospel, it would appear that the family that was giving this banquet, which would last for about a week, they didn't have a whole lot of money. and they could ill afford to buy more money. Now, this problem was not a serious problem with grave consequences, but it would have put a damper on this joyous event if they didn't have wine for the week. And Jesus' response to this minor need reveals him as a friend who lovingly and compassionately is concerned about every aspect of human need. Every aspect. That wonderful characteristic of compassion, which is an essential element of a good friend, is ever to be found with Jesus when he was confronted with the many and various physical afflictions, hunger, poverty, oppression, spiritual being tormented, lost, or forlorn. Scripture reveals that it's because of the Lord's compassion that they are new every morning. And because his compassion is new every morning, he's not going to pour out his wrath upon us when he sees our sin, but rather he pours out upon us his mercy. It was on account of Jesus' spirit of compassion that he showed us as our best friend when he laid down his life for us on the cross, for our eternal salvation. Jesus' mother Mary came to the realization that Jesus is our best friend in the time of need. For when the celebrants ran out of water, she came to Jesus. She had the confidence that Jesus had an interest in this couple and the celebration, and that he had the power to remedy the problem. Jesus responded to Mary by saying, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, this rather curt response by Jesus was not an utter rejection, saying, "I'm not going to help those people." No. What it does reveal is that Jesus found it necessary to gently rebuff Mary. Reminder, things have changed. Because Mary came across as if she was instructing Jesus to do something like she did when Jesus was growing up as a young boy in Nazareth. When Jesus began his ministry, Mary's role of authority came to an end. It's vain and even wrong for people to think Mary, even now, is the one that you need to bring your prayers and petitions to, although she can't hear us, and think that she's going to intercede for us. She has the in with Jesus, and so Mary will plead our cause before Jesus. Mary's request of Jesus at the wedding feast was on the same level of every sinner that comes to Jesus asking for help. We know in the Bible that there is an open and direct channel that we have with Jesus. We don't need a go-between to talk to Jesus and ask him for help. And so he wants us, as our best and kindest friend, when the need arises, he says, "You come to me and you make your request known to me directly." He says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And he assures us that whatever we ask according to his will, he'll grant it. Jesus' remark, "My hour has not yet come," gave an indication that he would determine, according to his wisdom, the appropriate time and the manner in which he would respond to this need that arose at the feast. Mary, in turn, willingly accepted this and put her trust in Jesus' response, because what did she say to the servants? "Do whatever Jesus asks you to do." Mary's humble acceptance and confidence in Jesus' divine wisdom to know when and how to remedy the problem is a good example for us. We ought to wait on Jesus after we've brought our prayers and our petitions to him. May God preserve us from the folly of thinking we always know what's best for us. and of neglecting to take into account the Lord's all-knowing wisdom. This kind of thinking can only set us up to conclude that, you know, if we approach the Lord asking him for help and we don't receive what we want, or we don't get it right away, we might be led to think, well, he's not my friend. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't care what happens to me. When we consider that the whole world, and yes, our lives, under his governance, and yes, he, by his all-wise, knowing ways, and by his almighty power, he created all things. And in whose hands everything consists, everything holds together for the Lord, with the Lord. So should there ever be any question in our minds that God has the wisdom to know what we need and one to supply that need? That Jesus possesses the power to master every situation or predicament that arises which is beyond our control is clearly demonstrated in this miraculous act of turning the water into wine. While we are subject to nature, on the other hand, nature is subject to the Lord. And in this case, Jesus superseded the laws of nature. He subjected the laws of nature to him as he miraculously changed the water into the best wine ever made. Isn't that what the master of the feast, who tasted all the food, tasted all the wines, he said to the host, now usually at a wedding banquet you put out your best wine, and then later on in the week you put out your worst wine. But he said, you waited to this long to bring out the very best wine. So that shows how miraculous and how good this miracle of Jesus was. The gospel account in the New Testament scriptures are filled with examples of people coming to Jesus with all kinds of problems, which only Jesus had the power to remedy. There were individuals who were afflicted with blindness, lameness, deafness, physical paralysis, leprosy, demon possession, and the list of things goes on and on. And there wasn't a problem that Jesus couldn't help them with. Even in some cases when they had lost a loved one through death, he raised that loved one back to life again. He has the power to help us in every situation of life. What a friend we have in Jesus, for we can go to him with any kind of problem of life and know that there's nothing too hard, there's nothing too difficult for him to help us with. Knowing this, we can cast all our cares, all our concerns upon him, and he has instructed us to do this and confidently trust that he'll help us according to his will and eternal purpose. The evangelist John reports that when the disciples witnessed this miraculous sign, it served to strengthen their faith in Jesus. May this message that we hear, that demonstrated, that revealed, manifested the glory of Jesus in so many ways, will increase our faith in knowing Jesus is my best friend who will help me and love me to the end. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with a hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." In addition to the general prayer for this morning, we are also requested to offer up additional prayers. Roy and Nancy Cameron asked us to pray for the family of Cariff Leyland of Saris, whose father Randy died. And they mentioned that they had attended some of the small group services that Pastor Luke brought to them. Also, Joy St. John of Sacramento asked for prayers for Samantha and her mother Desiree, who lived in Forever Easter House. She said that from what she understands, Samantha had been in the hospital over Christmas to be treated for a suicide attempt. And so we offer our prayers for these and others who are weighed down with cares and concerns. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are the God of all comfort. And we pray for your comfort for the Leyland family who suffered the loss of a family member. Help them to know that Randy, heard the gospel, he confessed his faith in the triune God and Jesus as his Savior, and that because of this faith, when he departed this life, he is now, even now, with you. May this be a source of comfort and peace and joy for the family who mourn the loss of their family member, Randy. We also pray for Samantha and her mother, Desiree, especially for Samantha. We pray that you will help her in her time of struggles of life. Help her to realize that life is not hopeless and despairing, because you are the one who gives peace, joy, and hope, especially the hope of eternal life. We pray, O Lord, that you will draw them close to you and help them during the trials and tribulations of life. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that the greatest of your love and the tenderness of your mercy moved you to sacrifice yourself on the cross for us, that we, who are creatures of sin and death, might in you have righteousness and everlasting life. During this Epiphany season, we thank and praise you for the wondrous works you did before the people, for these works were God's mighty signs, which gave ample testimony that you were and are who you claim to be, God's own Son, fully qualified to save us from our sins and to help us in any problem and trouble of life. We thank and praise you for your resurrection from the dead, by which God has declared us forgiven and the bonds of death forever broken. We thank you for your word, by which we learn of you, and for our faith, by which we accept you as our personal Savior and our best and kindest friend. We thank you that for your namesake and gracious intercession, God in heaven hears and answers our prayers. And we thank you that living in us through the Holy Spirit, you give us strength to overcome sin and to live in a way that pleases God. Oh Jesus, all that we are, all that we hope for, all that brings us everlasting joy and peace, we owe to you. Alas, O Savior, in spite of your great love for us, which is so evident every day, our faith is often sluggish, and our love for you so often is only lukewarm. We daily fall prey to the temptations that assail us from within and from without. We often neglect our Christian duty to share your salvation with others. Forgive these and all sins, and shower us with your grace through the Spirit, so that sins of unbelief, pride, and self-righteousness, lack of love, do not cling to us any longer. Hear us in your great mercy, and in your name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand and receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with the singing of the hymn, Beautiful Savior. announcements that are found in the bulletin. After the service, we'll have our annual voters meeting, and there are ample copies of the, all the reports on the table in the entryway. Our school will be on vacation on Monday because of Martin Luther King Day. This coming Saturday will be a Zoom CLC Women's Retreat. If you have any questions, please contact Leslie concerning that. And next Sunday, there will be a ladies' auxiliary meeting after the worship service. And coming up a little later, the start of the month, will be the communion service, followed by the church council at church. And a little update about Chris Holt. Communicated back and forth with him, and he's out of the hospital. When he was in the hospital, they were able to pop the hip joints back into place. He says that he's gradually healing with his scrapes and bruises, and he's able to get up and walk around on his own, so it sounds like he's improving. So we thank the Lord for that. And may God in his grace be with you always. Yes.
And so I really would like to encourage you. You can certainly do it from home if you prefer, but if you'd like to be part of a group that's doing it, I encourage you to join us here next Saturday morning, as well as obviously encourage you to come to the Women's Auxiliary meeting after church.
May God and his grace be with you always.